This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iranians across the nation mourn victims of the Wednesday terrorist attack in the southeastern city of Kerman. The UN Security Council condemns the Kerman terrorist attack as reprehensible, calling for collective effort in holding the perpetrators to account. An Israeli-U.S. genocidal war on Gaza is still raging. 22,400 Palestinians have so far been killed. Now thousands of mourners have gathered at Imam Ali Mausoleum in the Iranian city of Kerman to bid farewell to the victims of the Wednesday terrorist attack. The participants chanted slogans against the U.S. and Israeli regime. People from all walks of life attended the funeral ceremony to offer condolences to the families of the victims. Mourners called on authorities to bring the perpetrators of the deadly explosions to justice. The Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, was also in attendance and addressed the event.
And today, the blood of your martyrs has created awareness in the world. Never ever before had the world pay attention to Palestine and Resistance Front, and there was not so much hatred of the Israeli regime and the U.S. as we have today. That is because, actually, thanks to the blood of martyrs, and this is awareness. The awareness that you see today all across the globe is thanks to the blood of our martyrs.
President Raisi emphasized the global hatred against Israel and the U.S. is a result of the blood of martyrs. Raisi stressed the Iranian armed forces will determine the time and place of Iran's reprisal. He added resistance groups in the region have frustrated the enemy. Also in the ceremony, the IRGC chief commander, General Hossein Salami, said the enemies cannot defeat Iran by carrying out terrorist attacks like the ones in Kerman on Wednesday. He vowed Iran will avenge the twin blasts that hit the assassination anniversary of General Qasem Soleimani and left nearly 90 people dead and over 280 others injured.
On January the 3rd, 2024, twin terrorist explosions hit an event in the Iranian city of Kerman, marking the fourth anniversary of the assassination of senior Iranian commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. The two explosions occurred minutes apart at two different locations packed with civilians. Some of the injured recount the horror that they've been through.
I think it was 3 o'clock when the explosion happened. People were running toward me. I saw several injured lying on the ground. I was scared. It was very awful. The air was dusty. I really don't want to remember that moment again.
There was an explosion that caused a commotion, and suddenly there was a second blast that made people more afraid. Shrapnel could be seen, and people were falling on each other. I can't describe. I can only say that it was a terrible moment.
The terrorist attacks have drawn strong condemnation from Iran, other countries, and international bodies, including the United Nations. The Security Council has called it a reprehensible act whose perpetrators should be held to account. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi has vowed those behind the cowardly terrorist bombings cannot get away with their crime.
This flood of people that poured towards the grave of Haj Qasem these days, you come to scare the people within your criminal act. You're not strong enough to face the resistance. Your power has lost its effectiveness against the forces of resistance. Now you're targeting innocent people? Know that you will pay a heavy price for this horrible crime.
Meanwhile, the drama took a new twist when the Daesh terrorist group claimed responsibility for the bombings. Some experts argued that the terrorist attacks bore all the hallmarks of an Israeli operation rather than one by Daesh.
Whoever is behind it, and I think we can assume who that is, that this has the United States and Israel written all over it.
Some Iranian media also cast doubt over Daesh being behind the attacks, as the terrorist group has a different modus operandi. These media believe the Daesh statement was in fact drawn up by the Israeli regime. They say this proves Israel is really scared of the consequences of its criminal act and that Daesh is a tool in the hands of the Tel Aviv regime. But whoever behind the deadly terrorist act, one thing is certain, and that is the terrorists have failed to achieve their objectives by killing innocent civilians.
Iranian mourners have called for unity as they condemn the terrorists and their supporters for committing such heinous crimes.
Iran's enemies should be aware that terrorist attacks will not undermine the unwavering support of the people for their government. Taking the lives of innocent civilians is a despicable act of cowardice. We will stand united with the government.
My wife and I were at the scene when the explosion occurred. There was thick smoke. I saw many bodies. Many people had fallen in the blast, including many women and children.
These are the final efforts of the arrogant enemy, especially the usurping, child-killing and criminal Zionist regime, which is spending its last days with God's help. And we will definitely be steadfast in defending Islam, the revolution and the way of martyrs. We hope to continue the way of martyrs. They do not reach the result in the path they follow. The last moments of their lives are on earth.
My neighbor's son and some of my relatives were killed in the explosion, including a 7-year-old child who was one of my relatives. All parents can understand my sorrow. Humans should have conscience and humanity. But do these terrorists have any humanity? Their actions are even more inhumane than those of animals.
And now joining us from Inderøy, Norway, is John Stepling, author and commentator. For more on the story, hello, John. Hope you're doing well out there, bud, in Norway. Now, John, it's not often you see Daesh claim a terrorist attack, and no one believes them. This attack in Kerman took place in the southeastern Iranian city there on the morning of January the 3rd. Daesh claims responsibility last night, the evening of the 4th, almost 50 hours after the terrorist attack, and no one in Iran believes them. Why? Or at least doesn't believe they acted alone. Why?
Well, I think the minute this happened, pretty much everybody with any kind of informed understanding of this region knew this was a Mossad attack. And it doesn't, you're right, it doesn't follow the usual protocols of a Daesh attack. The 30-hour break between acknowledging responsibility, the issuing of fatwas, all of that usually takes place simultaneous with the attack, if it's Daesh. But look, there, you know, you could make an argument that almost every single terrorist attack, going back to 9/11, people could make a persuasive argument that Mossad is involved in it. I mean, this is the fundamental policy of Israel, and that is terrorism. They're a terrorist state, and they have they have a convoluted moral justification for all of this. But yeah, of course, this attack is Mossad. That's who it benefits. It was a necessary escalation. They want to draw the United States more actively and directly into this conflict. The IDF is not an army prepared for an actual real war. It's a TikTok Instagram army. And they have suffered, you know, rather significant losses that Israel doesn't publicize. But their incursion in Gaza has been very costly for the IDF. Yes, they have, very strong air power. They can bomb innocent civilians and hospitals and mosques and kill babies, but the fighting on the ground, they have suffered huge losses. They are not equipped for that. And there were IDF generals that said they were not equipped for this. So they want to expand the conflict into Lebanon. They want to ultimately draw the U.S. into a conflict with Iran. The U.S. has no interest in right now having another, open another theater of conflict. They have enough on their hands, and they have an election coming up. But figuring out the logic of the U.S. is a fool's game, because there is no logic. But yeah, this was Mossad, and anybody who doubts that doesn't understand the history of Mossad and Israel, and doesn't understand how Daesh operates. I mean, this, you know, and the other thing is that just recently a Libyan ISIS fighter was revealed to be actually a Mossad agent. This is the 10th or 12th example of this. So all of these radical Islamic organizations are infiltrated hugely by Israel, to the point where, you know, you wonder if it's not a majority Israeli organization. But they have a unit that is designed at the ground to infiltrate ISIS and Daesh organizations, to have these lifelong sleeper agents, et cetera, et cetera. It's all very complicated, and I don't pretend to be an expert, but this is pretty common knowledge. This is not, you know, esoterica in any way.
I want to thank you for this extended talk we had, and stay safe. We'll talk to you soon. John Stepling, author and commentator there, joining us out of Norway. Meanwhile, the death toll from the Israeli genocidal war on Gaza continues to mount. At least 125 Palestinians have been killed in recent attacks. Israeli military launch an air, land, and sea campaign bounding over 100 targets over the past 24 hours. The al-Maghazi and Braj refugee camps have also been targeted by Israeli gunboats as Palestinian resistance fighters confront invading forces. Rafah and Khan Yunis areas have also been relentlessly targeted, even though these areas were previously designated as safe by Israel. But some of those injured have been transferred to a few hospitals that are still functioning. The Israeli genocidal war on Gaza has so far claimed the lives of over 22,400 Palestinians, and those that have not been killed are facing what the UN has called a catastrophic humanitarian situation. Another Palestinian man has been killed in fresh attacks on Palestinian cities in the occupied West Bank. 17-year-old was shot dead by Israeli forces in the West Bank city of Al-Khalil. The Israeli military forces also raided several areas in Nablus, Ramallah, and Al-Khalil. Fierce clashes erupted between Israeli troops and Palestinian fighters in Nablus. The Palestinian Red Crescent said Israelis have been targeting ambulances in the two cities and injuring a number of medics. IOF troops have killed over 300 Palestinians and have locked up over 5,000 since the 7th of October, concurrent with the onslaught on Gaza. Tel Aviv claims crackdown in the West Bank aims to target armed resistance, while they're also targeting civilians and medics. Masses of Yemenis have taken to the streets of Sa'ada to show support for Palestine. Demonstrators warned Israel and its allies about the repercussions of continuing the genocidal war on Gaza. They chanted slogans against the occupiers and called for immediate ceasefire in the besieged enclave. Meanwhile, a large number of demonstrators rallied in Hodeidah, cautioning the U.S. and other Western states about the consequences of attacking Yemeni fighters. In recent months, Yemeni armed forces have succeeded in disrupting sailing of Israeli ships or Israel-bound vessels in the Red Arabian Seas, including the Bab al-Mandab Strait. Yemenis insist they will press ahead with their anti-Israel operations to push for the delivery of humanitarian aid into Gaza. The epidemic of gun violence in America has once again left fatalities, this time at a school in the state of Iowa. Law enforcement official talks about the shooting incident.
There are six victims, one of them who is deceased. That individual was a sixth grade student at Perry Middle School. The other five are being treated at area hospitals. Four of the victims are students, and the fifth is a school administrator.
Incident occurred in the city of Perry on Thursday. Shooter has been identified as a 17-year-old student of the same school. The male assailant was equipped with a pump-action shotgun and a small-caliber handgun. He was found dead from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. A probe is underway to find out the motive behind this attack. The U.S. is reeling from back-to-back shootings, which took place in a wide range of public places, including schools. And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Cyborgs don't have to be tin men with laser guns. A simple word spreading through cyberspace can be as lethal as a virus or bacteria affecting the brain. And cyber wars do just that. They manipulate the minds of millions and billions. Not to blow them out of proportion, but many media channels have become generals in these wars. They serve the purpose and propaganda machine of powerful governments starting these wars. Wars to win the hearts and minds of other nations, to turn them against their own sovereign governments and neighboring states. The old notion of divide and rule. Just take a look at the recent Israel-Hamas war and the attempts that have been made to cause or widen a rift between the Iranian people and their governments. This particular task has been fallen on Persian TV channels abroad and their social media platforms. We'll be looking at their techniques on this edition of Iran Today. So please stay with us for more. To know more, we sat with Dr. Davood Faridpour of Allama Tabatabai University. Dr. Faridpour holds a PhD in communication sciences. He told us that the enemy has always tried to drive a wedge between Iranian societies. It is said that the aim of this media warfare against Iran is to create a disunity among the Iranians, especially between the people and the government. Your thoughts on this issue?
چرا دارن بین مردم ما و حکومت ما این انشقاق رو ایجاد
Why are they trying to provoke division between the people and the government over different issues? Today, they are using the issue of Gaza for this purpose. It might change in the future. It's part of their bigger plan. They know that the real power of the Islamic Republic lies in the public support of the system, so if they want to harm the Islamic Republic, they need to undermine its public support. For this purpose, they are looking for different issues to capitalize on. Today, they are working on the issue of Palestine and Hamas. They are trying to convince the Iranians through a plethora of media techniques that all their problems stem from Iran's support of the Palestinian cause. But we know that's not true.
Two major offenders are Manoto and Iran International TV channels. Operating from the UK and the US, they appear to be on a campaign trail to pin every mishap in Iran on the government's support for Palestine. Even economic problems stemming from US-imposed sanctions on the country. They do this first by portraying Hamas as a terror group victimizing Israel, and second by blowing out of proportion Iran's support for Palestine. This is Mohammad Lesani, an Iranian media expert. Mr. Lesani told us the Israeli regime's media army is totally at the service of the Israeli military.
It seems as though in the recent war between Hamas and Israel, the battle of narratives has become more prominent than before, and the Israeli regime has resorted to spreading dis and misinformation regarding the resistance movement. What are your thoughts on this issue?
از هفته اکتبر ما شاهد این بودیم که همینطوری که در میدان یک
Since October the 7th, there has been a sort of media war along with the military one. This, let's say, media war has been following some certain guidelines. First, the Israeli regime doesn't want to show that it is merely fighting against Hamas, which is just one out of many resistance movement groups. It's trying to show that it's fighting against Iran or the resistance movement as a whole. After all, the regime has received a heavy blow, and it doesn't like to say that the blow was only from Hamas. Second, the Israeli regime tries to show itself as the victim. Over the past years, we've seen that the regime intentionally refrained from releasing videos about Israeli captives or injured soldiers. But this time around, the Israeli media outlets are deliberately showing them. The question is, what is behind this media shift? It's clear that Tel Aviv wants to justify its war crimes and prepare public opinion for further brutal assaults.
When Hamas is discredited, every word in its support is a breath wasted. Any penny spent on it is money wasted. And worse than that, it is money helping terrorism. See how many birds are killed with one stone? Iran's government is being demonized with the aim of losing the support of its people. This way, the ground is fertile for regime change or an attack on Iran, should Israel get its way with the U.S. even more than before. And Iran will be out of the way of Israel and its aggressions against Palestinians. It's literally one Israeli war being fought on several Iranian fronts. These fronts, or Persian language media outlets outside Iran, begin by demonizing the victim to exonerate the aggressor. They refer to resistance groups as terror groups. Hamas's Operation Al-Aqsa Flood can hardly be even found on Google, as namely Iran International and Manoto refer to it as a terror attack. Palestinians defending their rights are hence called terrorists, while an actual traitorous attack by Al-Ahwaziyya separatist group on Iranian soil in 2018 is, according to Iran International, simply a bloody deadly attack. Manoto, which is a lot more docile than Iran International, is no less active in attempting to arouse sympathy for Israel. For example, in a pathetic attempt, it reposted a video call between an Israeli soldier and his family on their baby naming day, writing, "This father had to participate in the ceremony and pray for his child via video call, as he was participating in the war against Hamas." Iran is also on these TV channels' demonic spectrum. They claim Iran gives resistance groups intelligence and military support, as well as financial and moral. And that can't be good if resistance groups, including Hamas, are presented as terrorists. Dr. Faridpour told us that pro-Israeli media outlets have already sacrificed the truth before the altar of Zionism.
Yekno, mashruiyat zodai az hamle Hamas.
They are trying to blame Hamas for everything. They're trying to show that if the group hadn't carried out Operation Al-Aqsa Flood, everything would have been all right. They don't bother themselves saying that the operation itself was a natural response to years of systematic oppression by the Israeli regime. They're trying to delegitimize the Palestinians' rights to self-defense and self-determination. They are comparing Hamas with groups such as Daesh. When talking about Hamas, they are using words and phrases they use to apply for terrorist groups. At the same time, they are trying to show Israel as the victim through fake news and distorted reports, like the one they circulated about 40 babies beheaded by Hamas, which later turned out to be a downright lie. They are trying to show the regime as the victim with the ultimate goal of legitimizing its crimes.
Such media outlets insist on putting in lines implying popular discontent with public policy, lines that are most of the time lies or based on false claims and rumors or on realities blown out of proportion. For example, they claim that the people criticize government celebrations over Hamas attack on Zionist strongholds. Since the start of the war, so-called political analysts on Iran International have been trying to make this lie believable, that the Iranian establishment is out to create an oppressive environment hostile to the tiniest criticism of Hamas.
در باور بسیاری از افکار عمومی جامعه درونی ایران و منطقه,
many inside Iranian society and beyond believe that the Islamic Republic is standing against the Israeli regime. After all, there have been numerous confrontations between Tehran and Tel Aviv since the victory of the Islamic Revolution. So you basically believe that the Islamic Republic is serious about the Palestinian cause, thanks to the public support it enjoys in this regard. Therefore, you try to cast doubt on the whole story. You release fake news, hoping your audience would take at least some of them seriously. Then your audience might ask, for example, what if what you know about the Islamic Republic and Israel is not true? What if something else is at play between Tehran and Tel Aviv? If Iran is serious, why hasn't the country entered war with the regime? If you can create such questions in the audience's mind, then you can take the next step. You can relate unrelated things together, proceeding with your hidden agenda.
Finally, the world is getting to know the true nature of Israel, how it came about by creeping on Palestinians and usurping their lands, and how it has been committing warlike crimes or systematic terror against Palestinians over the past 75 years. For this reason, the fact that the world is waking up too much covert propaganda for Israel and against Palestine and Hamas is partially backfiring. To regain whatever lost reputation the Israeli regime is employing the threadbare method of projection. This way, it hopes to pin its reputation of a baby killer to its opponents, that is Hamas and presumably Iran. Israel's cyber army, together with its military army, are using every means possible to wipe out the Palestinian nation while cutting the flow of financial and moral support to Palestine. Israel thought it could forge videos of Hamas hostility using artificial intelligence. But as the videos were studied closer, they just served as a reminder of Israeli culpability as a baby killer. A CNN correspondent apologized for airing lies about Hamas killing babies. And there are more confessions of sorts saying Israel itself actually practices child killing as a habit. Hanania Naftali claims to be a media figure. This Mossad agent tweeted in Farsi over pictures of Gazan children's lifeless bodies. The world must thank us for destroying these little time bombs. We are in fact preventing similar future mishaps for other nations. This tweet was quickly deleted, as was his ex-platform statement that Israeli forces attacked a Hamas terror stronghold in a hospital, Al-Ahli Hospital. You recall how the hospital attack was pinned on Hamas, although Israel has relentlessly continued with such attacks since the war broke out early in October. Mr. Zohair Esfahani is an Iranian media expert. He said we should take any piece of news with a pinch of salt. Would you please tell us more about a certain pro-Zionist influencer, Hanania Naftali?
The interesting point about Mr. Naftali's tweet on the Al-Ahli airstrike is that he was forced to delete it as a result of public opinion pressure. Likewise, when CNN broke the fake news of 40 beheaded babies, the network came under pressure to show the pictures of the children. This pressure made CNN apologize for the fake news. What I'm trying to say is that people inside Iran and abroad should look for facts behind any piece of news. Otherwise, they would be misled by propaganda machines operating across the world.
Naftali's falsities and falsifying evidence have been many. He and his wife, India, recorded a video in their hideout on October 7th. That's the day Al-Aqsa flood operation, where the Hamas retaliation to Israeli occupation and brutality broke out. In the video, which is said to have spread virally on social media platforms, he claims he is a civilian at risk of Hamas rockets. But the background shows that this is a false claim. In fact, he is a member of the Zionist regime's reserve forces, and in 2014, he was among forces assassinating Palestinians. To Mr. Lesani, however, Haninia Naftali is but a gaffe machine at the service of the Israeli regime.
In my opinion, Mr. Naftali is merely a Twitter man, so to speak, a media personality with a huge amount of mistakes and miscalculations. For example, after the bombing of Al-Ahli Hospital, he posted a tweet announcing with pride that Israel bombed the hospital, and he deleted it after a short time. Or, for example, he posted a photo showing Palestinian children killed by the regime, referring to them as time bombs. I think no wise politician would touch him with a 10-foot pole, but you see him with Netanyahu now and then.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
There's plenty more to be said, but first a quick media review to give other outlets a chance to get a word in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to news excerpts from all across the world. We start off with a piece of news about Israel. Israel floods social media to shape opinion around the war. Politico writes, as Israel amps up its war online, its army's airstrikes have damaged Gaza's telecommunications infrastructure, leaving millions on the verge of a total network blackout. It's difficult to imagine a robust counter-messaging effort by pro-Palestinian groups which could make use of same advertising medium. It's one part of a social media battlefield in which Israel has a real advantage. Now, the second item, Israel is targeting the British public with war propaganda. Declassified UK writes, since October the 7th, the Israeli Foreign Ministry has paid for content to be shown on YouTube to audiences in Britain on at least 15 occasions in videos that have amassed millions of views. Now, Israel placed heavy restrictions on media amid Gaza war. The New Arab writes, Israel has banned journalists from covering issues including details about hostage negotiations and vulnerabilities in Israel's military capabilities, an official document has shown. Other information banned in a media directive including details of weapon systems used by the Israeli military and any of its equipment captured by the enemy, even if journalists were basing their reports on enemy news. Now, Gaza Media Office says 100 journalists killed since Israeli attacks began. Palestinian journalist Mohammed Abu Huwaidi, latest to be killed in Israeli attack on his home in the east of Gaza City. Al Jazeera writes, journalists working in areas of armed conflict are protected under international humanitarian laws, which Israel is accused of violating repeatedly. Palestinian journalists have said Israel is deliberately targeting them to silence their stories. That's it from me. Thank you so much for being with us.
Portraying Palestinian kids as time bombs deserving to be eliminated is not just the mindset of Naftali's. It's Israel's agenda. Alongside fake Persian social media platforms demonizing Palestinians and portraying Israel as the victim, Israel has its own direct platforms, both virtual and physical. Mr. Lassani said that this time the Palestinian fighters have come to a better understanding of media war.
As for the media project undertaken by the Israeli regime, there are two important points I would like to make. The first one is about fake news. As we see a huge volume of fake news online coming out from the regime, you can see them everywhere, in your email box, in the mainstream media, on social media platforms, in the words of American politicians, everywhere. It's a pity fake news is so predominant in the world. The second point is about the type of Palestinian resistance. They are actively showing their resistance struggle online. They are showing any Israeli tank or military equipment they capture or destroy. They want to hammer home this message that their struggle will come to an end. They want to say that the story of Palestine is not coming to an end with the Israeli occupation of their lands, and they're going to fight tooth and nail to get back their lands. So the Palestinians are also active in this media war, though not by circulating fake news, but by showing their military achievements, no matter how small or big they might be. This is going to unnerve the Israelis.
Within its war chamber, Israel has a media group called Stand With Us, which is active in Israel, that is occupied Palestine, the U.S., the U.K., and elsewhere in Europe. The group had put up a poster of a Palestinian child bearing the question, what will he be in the future? A doctor, a teacher, or a terrorist? This is while each Palestinian child is himself a target for Israel. Doesn't sound like he stands a great chance of growing up, let alone to choose a career. We then decided to go to Iran's National Association for Media Literacy, where we met with its head, Mr. Omid Ali Masoudi. He said what the regime's media do is hardly more than optical illusion.
When we're talking about the Israeli regime, we are talking about a brutal regime that seeks to take Palestine in its entirety. The regime does whatever it likes. It continues with its land grabbing, with its illegal settlements, its bombings, and so on. And to do this, Israel has resorted to a filthy narrative war, to playing the role of the victim, and to lies. The regime is one of the main sources of fake news. It usually tells part of a real story to mislead its audience in the end. I remember once I was working in the newsroom. I was listening to the regime's radio. The news began with three undisputable facts, but gradually shifted to baseless statements and then concluded with total lies. At first, we were under the impression that the whole story was true, because it was based on facts that we knew beforehand. This is the way the regime's propaganda machine works.
Here are some juicy Persian hashtags in support of Israel to the detriment of Palestine and demonizing the Islamic Republic for its claimed support of Hamas. Again, it's mostly a matter of indirectly demonizing Iran's government before its people for its regional policies. The most popular of these hashtags over past weeks has been Iran Stands With Israel, although it has not been as popular as the pro-Palestinian hashtag Al-Aqsa Storm. Importantly, most followers of Iran Stands With Israel are unknown newcomers to Twitter or monarchists. Then there are those hashtags demonizing Hamas. For example, the hashtags Hamas Terrorists or Hamas ISIS, which equates Hamas with ISIS or Daesh. That's outrageous. Whatever Hamas is or isn't, it is out to restore to Palestinians what is their own to have. An even better hashtag is Hamas ISIS IRGC, linking Hamas to both ISIS and IRGC or Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps. Finally, there are hashtags actually portraying Israel as a victim of Hamas. Examples are Israel under attack, I stand with Israel, and Iranians stand with Israel.
How do you interpret the recent hashtag, Iran Stands With Israel, that is quite trending now?
Concerning the hashtags, there was a hashtag called Iranians Stand With Israel. It was the most famous hashtag expressing solidarity with Israel, allegedly on behalf of the Iranian people. But even this hashtag didn't make a lot of noise. In other words, it failed to achieve its goals for two reasons. First, freedom-seeking people didn't welcome it. Second, the hashtag was used mainly by unidentified users. There are around 10 pro-Israel hashtags, and the interesting point is that the second most popular hashtag was used less than 10,000 times. In other words, it was used less than the 10th most popular pro-Palestine hashtag. It shows that there is at least an uptick in public awareness throughout the world concerning the issue of Palestine. And that's despite all the heavy investment pro-Israel groups have made to shift attention in favor of the regime.
Iranians are purposefully a direct target of Israeli and Western cyber wars. The youth here are extremely active on social media, which might distract them from history. But there are those generations that would remind them of how the Iranian people are natural supporters of plighted Palestine since even before the Balfour Declaration of 1917. It was by way of the Balfour Declaration that the British government announced its support for the establishment of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine. Even Mohammad Reza Shah, Iran's last monarch, in all his awareness of the economic benefits of relations with Israel, for example, the oil front, treaded carefully. The Shah avoiding alienating the nation and clergy by keeping his dealings with Israel quiet. In fact, when at a news conference in the early 1960s, he was confronted by a prominent journalist and founder of the Kayhan paper, Abdulrahman Faromarzi, his answer was a lot less direct than the question, has Iran officially recognized Israel or not? His answer was, Iran had recognized Israel as a de facto state. That is nothing new. But given the current state of affairs and perhaps also for the sake of economizing, we recalled our representative to Israel a few years ago, and he has not yet returned there.
There are a few types of pro-Israel accounts in Farsi. Accounts that are traditionally known as supporters of the regime, accounts belonging to monarchists, and accounts belonging to the so-called Iran Disinformation Project, which focus on making fake news against Iran. These accounts try to make specific hashtags trends on social media. That said, these accounts cannot target the majority of Iranian society. Last year, CNN released an analysis that Twitter, now X, cannot be a proper barometer to measure the pulse of Iranian society because all the Iranian accounts on this platform account for nearly 2.5% of the society.
The truth came out then, it'll come out now, in the day of supreme technology. In fact, Iran International's own followers have come to name it Israel International or Mossad International. Overdoing propaganda, as it turns out, can indeed backfire. Iran International has referred 10 times too many to the 40 Israeli babies beheaded by Hamas. Now that's why we demonstrated it was false news to begin with. Another sign of that station's ties to Israel is the fact that they have comfortably transferred considerable resources and members to the occupied Palestine. And in the summer of 2023, its correspondent Babak Eshaqi, a Jewish Iranian, got to visit the Israeli army's defense base. Talking of overdoing propaganda and support for the wrong side, tech giants have practically confessed to their support of Israel's war, as they now openly escalate their support in other areas. They've implied they won't allow Israel to be defeated in virtual space as well. The more Israel commits crimes against civilians in Gaza, the tighter social platforms make their grip and control of the news. Users say hashtags such as Free Palestine and messages in support of civilian Palestinians killed by Israeli forces are being concealed by social media platforms. That's all for today. On behalf of the team, I wish you a happy holiday season. It's slightly a different tone than former years because, ironically, in Bethlehem, Palestine, known as the birthplace of Jesus Christ, Christmas is canceled this year.
We'll be back in the new year, so do join us again then. Till next time, take care.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahd.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdu wa thana lillahi rabbil alameen. All praise belongs to Allah. All praise belongs to the all-merciful and kind, our Creator. And we send our love and devotion, our pledge of allegiance to our Prophet and his pure progeny. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon them. We are together on another episode of the program Bridge, contemplating on the beautiful du'as of Sahifa Sajjadiya, this priceless legacy of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam that we are bestowed with, that we are left with. And so much barakat and blessings we have seen in our lives from implementing and applying the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And especially when it comes to indirect teachings like Sahifa Sajjadiya with the language of dua, these teachings will be even more effective than direct teaching. With the language of dua, Imam Zain al-Abidin is teaching us the essence and the principles of the deen. On this very last part of the 10th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiya, where Imam is seeking asylum with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exalted is He, he gets to the very final bend and gives us a very golden point that inshallah today or in this episode we will confer upon this very last phrase of the dua. Imam says, Allahumma, O Allah, inna shaytana qad shamita bina idh shaya'nahu ala ma'asiyatik. O Allah, shaytan will gloat over us if we follow him in disobeying thee. Let's take a break and come back to see what does that term mean.
Rabbana. A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana.
All right, we're back with the program Bridge. Imam says, Allahumma, O Allah, be my witness. I bear witness to you. You are seeing this. That in the shaitan, that indeed shaitan, قَدْ شَمِتَ بِنَا إِذْ شَيَعْنَا. Is that most disloyal companion, disloyal leader, irresponsible creature, that if you follow him, he's not going to take any responsibility for the consequences of obeying him. Whereas, on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the other front, on the other side, on the contrary, He says that if you obey me, then tawakkal alay, then count everything on me, rely on me. The only guarantee in this dunya is the guarantee of Allah. all the other guarantees and warranties are fake. Shaitan says what? As the Holy Quran says, once you follow him, once you do everything in accordance to his commands, on the very last day he said, you should have used your own intellect. I said it, sure, but why did you listen? I take zero responsibility. You are responsible for what you've done. The Holy Quran in Surah Ibrahim says, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانِ The shaitan said, لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ I have zero responsibility. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي Other than I deceived you, I invited you to the wrong path, and you accepted it. You took that invitation. You took the call. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي Do not take it on me. Do not hold me responsible. Do not blame me. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Blame yourselves. Man, on that day of judgment that we are so helpless, he will leave us all alone. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, اللهم إن الشيطان قد شمت بنا He will gloat over us on that day if we follow him and in disobeying you. على مأسيتك On the path of disobeying you, فصلي على محمد وآل محمد Send peace and blessings to the Holy Prophet and his pure progeny. By saying this, Imam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a beautiful, thought-provoking, lifestyle-changing dua. He says, بعد تركنا إياه لك ورغبتنا عنه إليك Let's take a break and I'll come back to explain this phrase on the last part of our episode.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All right, dear listeners, please keep us in your dawahs wherever in this globe. You're residing and you're listening to this episode. On the very last part of the 10th dua, Imam says, Ya Allah, peace and blessings to the Holy Prophet and his pure progeny. And we have mentioned it many times as why Imam Zain al-Abidin keeps reciting salawat in the midst or towards the end of his du'as, in the beginning of the du'as. One of the reasons is that this is a mustajab da'wah. It's a guaranteed du'a that will be responded. And therefore anything that gets attached to this guaranteed to be responded du'a, to this given du'a, is having a high possibility of being accepted. Imam says, O Allah, do not and let him not gloat over us after we have renounced him for you and beseeched you against him. Meaning that do not let us make a U-turn. Do not let our determinations deter. Do not let our ambitions that we have in this path, the milestones that we have set, and the determination and the power of the will that we have to proceed through this journey, do not let that get altered. Do not let that decay. Meaning that do not allow shaitan, in a beautiful artistic way, Imam says, we know that shaitan will gloat over us. Do not grant him another chance to gloat over us. After what? After that we decided to make our U-turn towards you. وَتَرْكِنَا إِيَّا Leaving him alone for the sake of you. In the Holy Quran, there's a beautiful dua. رَبَّنَا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا. Do not let our hearts return or get a slip on the path of truth after you have guided us towards your path. بعد إذ هديتنا. After you have set us on the straight path. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَرَغْبَتَنَا أَنْهُ إِلَيْكَ and beseech you against him that we have shown our inclinations, we have shown the direction of our path to you. Do not let us get a slip to the side or, God forbid, get on the direction. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on RIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. We'll be right back.